I'll be preaching from John. We've made it into John 15, but I'm so taken by the words of our Lord and what we've already covered that sometimes there's verses that are laid on my heart, and today it's from chapter 14, John 14, verse 23. Here our Lord says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now I have three main points that I want to cover with you in this message. First, where our Lord says, if a man love me. This is a conditional promise. It's a conditional promise. And if he loves him, then blessings will follow. And then second, we see the comfort of this promise. Comfort in a conditional promise? How is that possible? Well, the comfort is found in Christ, because he meets the condition for his people. This accomplishment is founded in Christ. Now, and then third, what are the blessings which follow? What are the blessings that follow that our Lord speaks of here, if a man loves me? I've titled this message, Manifest by Love. Manifest by Love. So the first point here is, I'm going to look at this powerful and provocative promise. It's a powerful and a provocative promise. He said, if a man love me. Now I've been thinking of these words for a couple weeks now, and I'm comforted by these words. I'm comforted by these words that our Lord spoke, because the promise is accomplished. It's founded in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God to you who believe Christ are in him. Yea and amen. Yea and amen. They are sure and certain in Christ. Now, this conditional promise, that's how it's written here in this verse. If a man love me, then something favorable will follow. And our Lord tells us what those favorable things are. He says, he will keep my words. He says, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, I can understand when we read this and read it as a conditional promise, that we could easily despair as we consider this conditional promise, as we consider and ponder the question, do I love the Lord? Do I love the Lord? You know, Peter, that question was put to the Apostle Peter. That question was put to the Apostle Peter three times, as it's recorded in Scripture. And it's found in John chapter 21. Let's turn there to John 21. And it begins in verse 14. Here our Lord met his disciples on the beach. He came to them on the beach, and while they were out in the ship, they had been fishing. And we're told in verse 14 that this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. And so when they had dined, they ate together, again confirming that Christ rose in bodily form. His body truly raised from the dead. He was able to eat and consume food just like you and me. He really rose from the dead. So after they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, it's not clear whether Christ is referring to the occupation that Peter had returned to go fishing. Peter, do you love me more than being a fisherman? Do you love me more than the boats and the nets and the sea and doing these things, Peter? Do you love me more than these things? Or, as is more readily seen often, that he's referring to the other disciples. Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples? And that's because on the day in which our Lord was betrayed, he told all his disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." And when Peter heard that, he boasted himself. He exalted himself, stepping on the backs of the other disciples, even to do it, saying, "Not me, not me, Lord. Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I'm not going to leave you. Not me, Lord. I'm convinced. I know what I know, and nothing's going to change that. I will not be abandoning you this night, Lord." Now, Peter, at this time when the Lord asks him this question, Peter has been humbled. Peter has been brought low by the chastening of the Lord, and he sees the sin of his own pride. And Peter's response to the Lord in this question is, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Christ said unto him, "Feed my lambs." Christ is teaching Peter, "You've been forgiven, Peter. You've been humbled. I've shown you your sin. I've shown you that my word unto you is faithful and true, and that what I say comes to pass, and the Lord has kept you." Peter, the devil came, and he sought to sift you like wheat. He was going to destroy you. But Peter, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. I delivered you from the death which was ready to take you down and destroy you the way that Judas was destroyed. But I prayed for you, Peter. And he says to him, "Feed my lambs. You remember what you've been taught. You remember my love for you, Peter, and you be tender-hearted. You be kind and you be gracious to others who think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, Peter. And you minister the word to the weak and the tender-hearted brethren. You minister and be kind to those who are struggling and those who need to hear the grace of God revealed in the word of reconciliation." Then verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest." Sorry, I skipped one. He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And the Lord, oh, sorry, I'm getting mixed up here. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Be faithful in feeding my sheep, Peter. In verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" It stung Peter. It stung his heart. And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Peter was being taught by the Lord, and he was still being taught by the Lord that the Lord knows all things. The Lord knew what he was saying when he told the disciples, "You're all going to forsake me this night. You're all going to be scattered from me." The Lord knows. He's greater than our own knowledge of ourselves. So Peter said, "Thou knowest all things." all things. You know better than me, Lord. You know all things, and you know that I love thee. And in that faith, that continued faith which Peter had, the Lord was faithful to him in teaching Peter. He kept Peter. He preserved Peter. He delivered Peter from death, and he was still being faithful to Peter. He was still teaching Peter the word. He was still declaring the comfort of God's people through the gospel to Peter. And our Lord does that for you and I. And he does it that we would learn to be gracious and faithful and tender-hearted to others, that we would forgive others even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us, that we would remember what he's done for us. And so the Lord can put forth a question, frame it as a condition, and use it to teach us. If a man love me, do I love the Lord? Do I love the Lord? And it teaches us, because we see in ourselves unbelief. We see in ourselves sin. We see in ourselves wickedness. We see in ourselves waywardness. We see in ourselves flesh. And yet it's the Lord who in grace and mercy keeps us. And when questions like this are put to us, when it's brought to us and stings us, and we're brought to see our sin being kept and taught by the Lord, we cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, teach me. Lord, keep me. Lord, I'm cold. Lord, I'm distant. Lord, I'm being ignorant. Lord, I'm willfully rebelling. Save me. Have mercy. Deliver me, Lord. Keep me. The Lord teaches us through his word. You know, how do I know? When the Lord says, feed my sheep, how do I know how to feed the sheep of God? Well, what does he do? He shows us our weakness. He shows me my emptiness, my ignorance, my inability, which is a good thing, to feel weak in ourselves, to feel insufficient for these things, so that we learn what the Lord is teaching us in John 15:5, when he says, without me, you can do nothing, nothing. But he teaches us in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, if you live in me, and I live in you, my word lives in you, ye shall ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Because seeing our insufficiency, knowing I can do nothing, causes the child of God to lean and cry out to the Lord, save me, Lord. I want to feed your sheep. I want to feed them the faithful, true gospel of Jesus Christ, because you and you alone save your sheep. You alone are the salvation of your people. And so through the question like this, through a conditional promise where he says, if a man love me, and he causes us to ask, do I love the Lord? We feel him search our hearts. We know him to be the searcher of hearts. We know that we can't fool him. We can fool others. We can fool ourselves. But you can't fool God, who knows all things and is everywhere. So that we're brought, Lord, you know all things. You know everything. And Peter could have crumbled right there. He was certainly reminded in that questioning of what he did when the Lord went away that night to be crucified, how that he denied Christ 3 times exactly as the Lord had said. And here he finds himself in an open air fire, the same as he was the night that the Lord was taken, when he denied him 3 times. And now he's asked 3 times, and it stung him greatly. And so Peter would learn this and be taught this by the Lord, so that being humbled himself and knowing the chastening of the Lord, who does this for those that he loves, he could write in his epistle in 1 Peter 5:5, when he said, all of you be subject one to another don't think, don't be so high and mighty and that you don't hear your brethren and don't consider your brethren. Be subject one to another. We're not as wise as we think that we are. And be clothed with humility. We're not as solid as we think that we are. Be clothed with humility. Even if we were solid and sound, God won't have it. God's going to teach us that we're not. We're not as sure and as sound as we think we are. And it says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So how could Peter say, yea, Lord, I love you? Lord, you know that I love you. He could say that he loved Christ because the promise of life and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't founded upon some self-righteousness in Peter. There was a time when Peter said, I'm zealous. I know what I know. And I'm a powerful speaker. I'm able to stand up in boldness before my brethren. I have resolve, I have commitment that I don't see in these other people. And he trusted in himself before, but now he sees I'm nothing. The Lord knows all things. He stripped me down, showed me I'm nothing in myself, so that his confidence wasn't in self, but was founded upon the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, which were made manifest in him. And Peter believed Christ's word to him. Peter believed his word, and so he continued to follow Christ by faith, and in following him, in going after Christ, staying upon Christ, Christ was faithful to him. Christ taught him. Christ loved Peter and was merciful to him. And that's what I was saying there, where the Lord teaches us we could do nothing. But seeing we can do nothing, it causes us to cry out to our God. Because that promise lives in us. It abides in us. And we see, Lord, you say that without you I can do nothing. And I believe you. And you say that whatsoever we ask in your name, you'll give it. When that word abides in you. Because you're not asking according to the flesh. You're not asking to consume it upon fleshly things. We're asking it because we need help. We're asking it because the spirit of adoption cries out, Abba, Father. I'm nothing. Lord, I'm sinking. Lord, I need your help. And you promise to help those who cry out to you. You promise life. You say, because I live, you shall live also. And so he brings us through the trials. He brings us through the afflictions. He brings us to times where we are humbled so that we cry out to him in faith, believing his word, trusting his promise, and see the proof of that promise revealed to us in Christ. So that we see the Lord does keep his word. The Lord does fulfill his word to me. You know, Peter could have gone the way of Judas, but he was kept by the grace of God. He was sifted, but Christ preserved him. Christ protected him. And so Christ saying, my words abide in you, Peter. What word was that? That confession that Peter had made some time ago, a while ago, back in John 6, verse 68 and 69, when he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That word, which was revealed to him by the Father, abide in him. It lived in him. It remained in him. And so being kept alive by the Lord, he continued. Though he was saddened by his own sin and rebellion and was humbled in the chastening, but he stayed on Christ. Where could he go? Where could he go? Christ alone has the words of eternal life. And he hoped against hope that Christ would be merciful and compassionate to him. And what a comfort that is to us who are sinners, who know that we ourselves are fickle and weak and foolish, but where can we go? Yes, we see our sin. Yes, we see our folly, but Lord, I can't go anywhere else, and I can't muster up righteousness of myself. I don't have strength of me, but you do. And you promise in your word that all who cry out to you shall be saved, and that you reveal your word of promise to your people, which is why you've given to us the Holy Spirit. And he reveals our need of Christ in us. So this brings us to our second point here, the condition which is established upon better promises. Every one of us here has done some things, has said some things, have thought some things for which we are ashamed. Since the time when we professed to believe on Christ, we've done those things and feel shame and sting in our heart when we think of those things. And we ask the question, how can a Christian do this? How can someone who loves Christ do this or say this or think that? And so we're brought to feel that shame. But like Peter, when we're chastened and brought low in self, like Peter, we stay upon the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Because he's given us life, and his word abides in us, so that we continue to come back to him and look to him and are chastened, because the Lord loves us and teaches us and will be gracious and faithful and kind to us. And Christ restored Peter through the promise of his word and the testimony of the Holy Spirit, because our God gives us the Holy Spirit, who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He makes that known. It's not that you don't have the Spirit because you're mighty in everything and you're all wonderful and never make mistakes, you never sin, you never fall, you never offend. That's not what it is. It's that our God makes us to be meek and humble and to know our need of him, to know we can do nothing without him, that we cry out to him, repeating those promises, Lord, you say in your word, and Lord, I believe, and I need you to do that by your spirit and grace. And so, what are the promises upon which our faith is established and built up? We'll turn over to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says that the promises there are according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Our God is telling us that you're not continuing, you're not following Christ by the strength of this flesh. No. We know the weakness of this flesh. We see what comes of our following the Lord in this flesh. But here he's telling us, I've promised you. I've given you great and exceeding precious promises. I've given you my Holy Spirit, who reveals the truth of my word in you. And you're pressed, and you're brought into trials, and you're shown your weakness, that you would call upon me, looking for those promises, trusting those promises, believing God to bless us, at who's promised this word to us. And so our hope and trust in Christ is not based upon what we see in ourselves. It's based upon him whom we see by faith, who gives us his word and promises his word to us, who said, because I live, ye shall live also. And so being made alive by him, we're helped of him. We're taught of him. We're led of him. We're kept by him. What's something that he says? He says in John 8:12. I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a promise. That's a promise of God. So, when our minds are filled with darkness, when we are filled with confusion, and doubt and sin and the follies of this flesh, what do? We lean upon our Savior. Lord, save me. Lord, my mind is full of noise. Lord, I am in darkness. Lord, I am afraid. Lord, I doubt. Lord, I have unbelief. Lord, you say that those who believe in you shall not walk in darkness, that you are the light. Lord, shine that light in my heart as you promise in your word. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Keep me, Lord. Show me your glory. Restore to me that joy and that fellowship and that light in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he encourages us with his word. He says to you that he's called you by his gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by our strength. He's promised that we have obtained that glory even now, and we shall come into that eternal inheritance by the grace and power of our God. He tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. So we do love Christ. We do love Christ. Don't look at your actions and your flesh and think that you're going to find something in yourselves to find this confidence. We'll be stripped and humbled and brought low that we might find all our strength, all our hope, all our glory in him who promised life to us by grace, according to his promise. And so we do love Christ. We do love his salvation. We are thankful for his mercy and his compassion toward us. We're thankful and rejoice that Christ came in the flesh, a perfect fit sacrifice for me. I'm the sinner, and you're the sinner who needs that perfect salvation, and Christ came to pay the debt of sin for you, his people, whom he loved from all eternity. And he came and faithfully fulfilled everything to put away our sin, to die our death, and to give us life in him. And the comfort to our hearts, when we're looking at this conditional promise, because I said it's not fulfilled by us, it's fulfilled unto us. It's made truth. It's made alive unto us by his grace. When he says, if a man love me, the truth is, as the Apostle John said in his epistle, 1 John 4, when he said first in verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to turn away the wrath of God against our disobedience, and to give us life in him. And he says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And so we see that that word is fulfilled not by us, but by Christ. So that we who love him, we who walk by his Spirit, we who walk by faith, believing the promises, do so because he loved us first and gave us life and gives us the Spirit whereby we cry out in the Spirit of adoption, Abba, Father, help me, Lord, save me. Reveal these promises in me, which you say to your people. And so, this is that promise of the covenant of grace established for us in Christ's blood. He says, well, go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 14 through 17. He said, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so that love for our Savior is formed in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, which is given unto you, is a witness to you that you live in Christ, that Christ laid down his life for you, because we've been raised from the dead and have fellowship and communion with our God. And we have these blessings founded upon the blood of Christ. And in Him, these great and exceeding precious promises are made unto us. Believe Him. That's why we're walking by faith, because we're trusting Him to fulfill His word of promise unto us. All right, now, the last point is the blessings which follow. So let's go back there to John 14:23. What are these blessings which are founded upon this promise in Christ? Jesus answered, verse 23, and said unto Judas, or Didymus, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So that these blessings are given to strengthen our love and communion with our God. That we would look for him, that we would trust him, that we would believe him. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So that where life is, faith will follow. There will be faith in his children. And we'll be looking for Christ. Whereby Paul writes it this way. He says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4:1. Then in Colossians 1:10-11, he wrote to that church, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. He teaches us this. He says again to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, he said that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. So that if you don't see in yourselves a walk worthy, by the Spirit of his grace, we pray, Lord, help me. I know what your word says, and I don't feel good at all about myself. And I don't see what I think I should see in myself. And we never will. We never will. But we do love him. And we want to be faithful to him. We want to walk worthy. We want him to teach us what a worthy walk is. Because we don't know what a worthy walk is in this flesh. And so we cry out to him. And we pray. And we seek him. Because this is his word. His word of promise is that we do live in him. And we believe him. We believe by faith that he has given us life in him. And so we seek him for it. That's not how we're made righteous. Christ is our righteousness. He is all our righteousness. But we are given his spirit whereby we walk by faith. Not by sight, but we walk trusting him. Crying out to him in fellowship. Breathing out the Spirit that's been given unto us because we live and breathe by the grace of God. And Peter said it this way, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. There's a desire put in us that Christ be glorified. And we want to walk by faith in him, trusting him. Discovering the glory of his promises and his power, all his glory. And then our Lord says, and my Father will love him. So that through the preaching of Christ, through the preaching of this gospel, he turns our hearts from dead works and sets them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we do love him more and more, growing in him, rejoicing in him, and having more comfort as he reveals the promises in us and turns our hearts from trying out something new and doing dead works, but rather being turned again to our God and crying out, Lord, save me, have mercy on me. And he adds, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We're going to face adversity. We're going to face trials and difficulties, disappointments, afflictions, temptations, all these things are brought to us, and they show us weaknesses in ourselves. We're disappointed with ourselves, and we disappoint others and find flesh yet dwells, or sin yet dwells in this flesh. Because our God is continually teaching us, without me, ye can do nothing. And he does it faithfully and tempered, and he does it in wisdom and in compassion and kindness to teach us and to grow us in Christ. And so it's not an easy lesson for us to learn. You think about how Peter learned it. Was that an easy thing? Could you imagine being like Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times, just as the Lord said? And when Christ looked at him there, recorded in Luke, how that must have pierced his heart, how that word divided soul and spirit and just exposed him for what he is in the flesh. That was a hard lesson to learn. Is it any different for us as the Lord is teaching us? So Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." We love the Lord, and so we do care about his name. We do care about our walk, and we have no strength or ability in ourselves to walk worthy. And so we do cast that care upon him and say, "Lord, fulfill unto me the promise of your word. Teach me, grow me, be patient with me." And I know, Lord, you do all things well and for my good. And so we find through that abiding presence of our God that he does love us, that he is the one keeping us, that he hasn't let us go and turned us over to our own flesh, that we haven't departed like Judas or like Demas or like others who went away and been destroyed. He's showing us that we are his children, because his word abides in us, and we cry out to him, and he keeps us, all by his grace. And so it's going to be received by faith, resting on the promises of our God made unto us in Christ. If a man love me, our Savior manifests his love in us, and it's through his glorious power and grace and the giving of his Holy Spirit. And it's wonderful to discover that grace, that we love him because he first loved us. And so I pray the Lord comfort your hearts and bless you in that word to believe your Savior and walk by faith in him. Amen.